Okay, so we've all heard it right. Like, turn on MFA and you're basically good to go.
Right.
Like, it's this impenetrable shield against all the, digital bad guys out there.
Yeah.
But what if I told you that even this seemingly like super strong security system actually has some weaknesses and
Well,
some pretty surprising ones at that?
sure.
Welcome to the deep dive, where today we are going deep into a kind of unsettling truth.
Yeah.
Hackers are increasingly figuring out how to get around even MFA.
Exactly, and that's why we're here, right? To help
Yeah.
you understand how important it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, MFA is still absolutely essential, but how attackers are getting around it is getting really clever. We're seeing this rise in techniques that don't actually target your password or your code or anything like that. They're going after the process of how we prove who we are.
Interesting. So
Yeah.
it's not about like the what anymore. It's about the how fascinating.
Yeah.
And we've been looking at this breakdown of recent cybersecurity trends. We call it pasted text for now,
Right.
but it really paints a picture of attackers who aren't like picking the lock anymore.
Yeah.
They're more like illusionists
Uh-huh.
misdirecting the whole system.
I like that analogy.
So what we're going to do today is break down these advanced MFA bypass methods, so how they work,
Right.
but we really want to make sure you understand it, so we're going to keep it clear.
Yes.
No super technical jargon.
Exactly.
And most importantly, we're going to figure out what you can do to stay safe.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's unpack all of this, starting with the basics.
Okay.
What exactly is MFA trying to achieve?
So at its heart, MFA is all about confirming your identity, and not just with one thing, with multiple pieces of evidence, what we call factors. And there's three that are most common. The first one is something you know, like your password or that security question, like what street did you grow up on or whatever. Then there's something you have, like a code that gets sent to your phone or a physical key.
Like a little dongle.
Exactly. And then the last one is something you are. And that's your biometrics, so your fingerprint or a face scan.
Okay, so it's kind of like spreading out your risk a little bit.
It's like if a cyber criminal gets one of these. Like, let's say they steal your password through a phishing email. They still can't get in without that second thing.
That second factor.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's like having two keys to unlock a really important door.
But as we were talking about earlier, attackers are getting really smart.
Yes, they are.
They're not trying to steal your keys anymore.
No.
They're finding ways to open that door without that second key fully turning in the lock.
Yeah, they're getting really clever.
So let's talk about some of these ways.
Okay.
One of the main techniques we found is exploiting weaknesses in the actual flow of the authentication process. What's
Well,
going on here?
this one is interesting because the attacker is not actually trying to crack the code or anything like that. What they're doing is they're looking for tiny little flaws in the timing and communication between the steps of authentication. So, for instance, they might target that moment when your device is talking to the server to confirm the MFA code, right?
Got it.
And by intercepting and like slightly changing those signals, they can trick the system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the system thinks that second factor has been provided,
Exactly.
even though you haven't actually done anything.
Exactly. It's like a little glitch.
A glitch in the matrix.
Yeah, basically.
Wow. So it's like a digital shell game.
Kind of, yeah.
They're just moving things around so the system gets confused.
Exactly. And the system thinks everything's okay.
And you mentioned earlier that this leaves very few digital footprints.
Yes, this is a big problem.
Why is that?
Well, normally when somebody tries to break into your account, the system logs it, like failed login attempts or anything suspicious. But when the attacker successfully bypasses MFA in this way, it can look like a completely normal login to the system. Yeah, there's no errors or red flags.
So it's basically invisible.
It is, and it makes it very difficult for security teams to even know that a breach occurred.
Yeah, it's like a break-in where the door looks perfectly normal afterwards. So
Exactly.
there's no sign that anyone was even there.
Exactly.
So that's scary.
It is.
All right, so the second technique we need to talk about is session token manipulation.
Right.
And this one involves injecting some malicious JavaScript.
It does.
Now, for those of us who don't speak code,
Yeah.
can you break down exactly what is happening?
Okay, so think of a session token as like a temporary digital ID card that you get after you first log in with your username and password. But normally this ID isn't fully activated until you finish that MFA step. So what attackers are doing is they're injecting these small bits of harmful code.
Okay.
Like that example script we saw.
Right.
And it basically goes in and changes the status of that ID card.
So it's like changing the expiration date?
Kind of, yeah. They're flipping a digital switch.
Right.
That says, yep, this person has finished MFA.
Even though they hasn't?
Exactly. Even though you haven't typed in a code or approved anything.
Wow.
It's like forging your digital stamp of approval.
So the system thinks you've done everything right.
Exactly.
Even though you haven't.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, so this script we were looking at.
Yeah.
It illustrates this really well.
It does.
It basically looks for a specific thing in the authentication process.
Like waiting for verification or something like that.
Yeah, and then it just changes that to verified.
Exactly, and then MFA is complete.
Right, and to really sell it, they add in like an MFA OK tag.
Exactly, and it looks totally legit.
So the system is tricked.
Completely, and it grants access based on this tampered ID card.
So what this means is that even after you log in and finish MFA,
yeah,
that digital pass you get can still be attacked.
Exactly.
That's really scary.
It is. It challenges this idea of when we're actually secure online.
Right. Like we think we're safe.
Right.
But we're not.
Not necessarily.
Okay. So let's move on to the third technique.
Okay.
This one is called transparent phishing with a reverse proxy.
Yes.
It sounds a lot like those regular phishing attacks we've all heard about.
It does.
But with a sneaky twist.
Yeah, a big twist.
So what makes this so good at getting around MFA?
So it's all in the words transparent and reverse proxy.
All right.
You've probably heard of phishing.
Right.
Where you get a fake email and they want you to enter your login details.
Right, right.
Transparent phishing is like that, but way worse.
Okay.
Because the attacker sets up a fake login page. But it looks exactly like the real one.
Oh, wow.
It's a perfect copy.
Okay.
And when you type in your username, password, even your MFA code on this fake page, the attacker's reverse proxy grabs all of that.
Okay, so the reverse proxy is like the middleman.
Exactly. It's like this hidden middleman between you and the real website.
Got it.
And it captures everything in real time.
So it's recording everything you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it sends those credentials and that MFA code to the real service.
So for you, it just looks like you're logging in normally.
Exactly.
You type everything in, you get the MFA prompt, you enter the code you're in.
You're in.
But the attacker is also in.
Yes, because they're completing the login process on the real website.
Right.
Using the information you gave them on the fake page.
And the website thinks it's you.
Exactly. The service sees a valid username, a password, and an MFA code.
Right.
All coming from you, seemingly.
So it's almost impossible to detect.
It is, because it looks exactly like a real login.
Right, because it is a real login.
Yeah, in a way.
Oh, man, that's so sneaky.
It is. It's very clever.
Okay, so this reverse proxy is like a sneaky middleman.
Yeah.
You think you're talking to the real website.
Right.
You're actually talking to the attacker's fake page first.
Exactly. And they record everything you say.
Like a little spy.
Basically, and then they repeat it to the real website.
So it seems legit.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, that is messed up.
It is.
Okay, so the final technique we're looking at today exploits network latency and error handling.
Yes.
Now, this one sounds a little more technical.
It is.
What's the vulnerability here?
So this usually happens in more complex systems.
Okay.
Where the system that handles your login and MFA is different from the system that actually has your data or apps.
Oh. Okay.
And this can cause these tiny little delays in communication.
Right.
And attackers look for these tiny windows.
These little gaps.
Yeah, after you enter your username and password.
Right.
But before MFA is fully done,
they
inject modified responses to that system with your stuff.
So it's like they're jumping the gun before the whole process is finished.
Exactly. The full authentication hasn't caught up to the resource server.
Right.
And the attacker sneaks in a fake access granted message.
So it's like two guards at different doors. Yeah. You show your ID at the first door.
Right.
And it takes a second for them to tell the second guard you're good.
Mm-hmm.
And the attackers try to sneak in that second door during that little delay.
Yes.
Before the all clear message gets there.
Precisely.
That's a really good analogy.
Thanks.
So they're taking advantage of these super small delays.
They are.
That happen in these systems.
Yes. It's a race against time.
Right.
And if they get that fake response in fast enough,
mm-hmm.
they can get in without triggering those MFA checks.
On that second door.
Exactly.
Yeah, and these techniques are wild.
They are. They're very sophisticated.
And scary.
And scary.
So our pasted text really highlights some serious security implications.
Yes, it does.
So let's talk about those for the listener.
Okay, so one thing that's really important to understand is that these attacks don't usually leave the normal evidence.
Okay.
Unlike brute force attempts where there's lots of failed logins,
yeah,
these bypass methods can look like normal logins.
Oh, wow. So they're really hard to spot.
They are, because they're exploiting real parts of the login process.
Right.
So they can go unnoticed by security tools.
So it's like they're hiding in plain sight.
Exactly.
And the damage from this could be really bad.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we could see data theft, installation of malware, even complete system takeover.
All of those things, yes.
Okay, so what can organizations do to protect themselves?
Okay, well, the good news is there are some things they can do.
Okay, good.
One really important strategy is continuous MFA validation.
Okay, what is that?
So instead of just checking that second factor when you log in, the system checks your identity constantly.
Oh, wow.
Throughout your entire session.
So even if an attacker gets in temporarily,
right,
they'll get kicked out when the system checks again.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's like a constant monitoring.
It is.
Okay, that's cool.
And another good one is using cryptographically signed tokens.
Okay, I'm going to need you to break that down for me.
Okay, so imagine a digital document with a special unbreakable seal. If anyone tries to mess with that document, like changing the MFA complete status, that seal will be broken and everyone will know.
So it's tamper-proof.
Exactly. It's like a digital passport with extra security.
Got it.
So attackers can't really mess with the status.
Okay, so they can't just change it to MFA.
Exactly.
Okay, what else can organizations do?
So another really important thing is anomalous authentication pattern monitoring.
That's a mouthful.
It is, but it's really important.
Okay, well, what is it?
So it uses special tools that learn what's normal for each user.
Okay.
So if you suddenly log in from a different country,
right,
or at a weird time,
yeah,
or do anything else suspicious,
yeah,
the system flags it.
So it's like the system is learning your habits.
Exactly. And then anything out of the ordinary gets flagged.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It is.
What else?
So our source material also really pushes for phishing-resistant authentication methods.
Okay.
Like FIDO2 and WebAuthn.
Okay, and what are those?
So these are newer standards, and they use unique cryptographic keys that are linked to your device in the website.
Okay.
So it's way harder to trick them.
Compared to the SMS codes we get?
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then the last one is reducing authentication workflow latency.
Okay, and remind me what latency is again?
So that's basically the delay.
Oh, right.
In those more complex systems we talked about.
Okay.
The faster the authentication happens, the less time attackers have to exploit those delays.
Right. So close that window of opportunity.
Exactly.
Okay. So this continuous MFA validation sounds great.
It is a good strategy.
But does it mean you're constantly having to re-verify?
That's a good question. And it's a balance that organizations have to figure out.
Right.
Between tighter security and a good user experience.
Right. Because if you're constantly having to re-verify, it's going to get annoying.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's a lot for organizations to think about.
It is.
But what about our listener?
Right.
What can they do in their own lives? Luckily, our pasted text has a really good FAQ section.
It does.
So let's look at some of those questions.
Okay.
A big one is, does having MFA turned on guarantee I'm safe?
So that's a great question. And unfortunately, the answer is no.
Okay.
It's not 100% guarantee.
Right.
While MFA really boosts your security, it's not a magic bullet.
Right.
And attackers are always coming up with new ways to get around it.
So they're always one step ahead.
It seems that way sometimes.
Right. And as these bypass techniques show, they can find weaknesses in how it's set up and used.
Yeah. So it's not about attacking your passwords or codes directly anymore.
It's about attacking the system.
Exactly.
Okay. So another question people might have.
Yeah.
How can I even tell if my MFA has been bypassed?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because these attacks are so sneaky.
They are very stealthy.
But there are some things you can look out for.
Yes, definitely.
So what are they?
Okay, so keep an eye out for any weird activity on your accounts. Login notifications from places you don't recognize.
Okay.
Or any unexpected transactions.
Okay.
If you can see your account's security logs, check those regularly.
Okay.
Look for any logins that seem off.
Like from a different country.
Exactly. Or at a weird time.
Okay.
And if something just feels wrong, trust your gut and investigate.
Yeah. Better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
So besides MFA, what else can we do to stay safe?
So you can think about using hardware security keys.
Like a physical key.
Exactly. It's a really strong form of verification.
Okay.
And if you trust it, biometric authentication can also be good.
Like your fingerprint.
Exactly.
Okay.
And just generally be cautious online.
Yeah.
Look out for red flags.
Or don't click on suspicious links.
Exactly. All of that.
Okay. So it's a little discouraging that even MFA isn't perfect.
I know.
Is there any way to completely eliminate the risk?
So in cybersecurity, completely eliminating risk is almost impossible.
Okay.
But you can reduce your risk a lot.
Okay.
By having strong security measures, staying up to date on threats, and using the strongest authentication you can.
Right.
It's about having multiple layers of defense.
Right. Like an onion.
Exactly.
Okay, so the FAQ also talks about different types of MFA and how some are more vulnerable than others.
Right.
So can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. So SMS-based MFA, where you get a code by text, is usually considered the least secure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because those messages can be intercepted.
Oh, wow.
Or your phone number could be hijacked.
Like through SIM swapping.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
So authenticator apps,
okay,
which make those time-sensitive codes
and
physical keys, are much stronger.
Okay. So it's better to use an app or a physical key?
If you can, yes.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
So AI is becoming a big part of security.
It is.
How can it help with these bypass attacks?
Well, AI tools can look at huge amounts of login data.
Right.
And spot tiny patterns or things that are out of the ordinary.
It might indicate a bypass attempt.
Exactly. And they can learn what normal activity looks like. So they can flag anything unusual that a human might miss.
Right.
Which can really speed up detection.
Wow. So it's like having an extra set of eyes?
Yeah, but it's way more powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
So our source material mentions this company called Technigian.
Yes.
As an example of the kind of help organizations can get.
Uh-huh.
What do companies like that usually offer?
So companies like Technigian usually offer threat intelligence.
Okay.
To keep organizations up to date on attack methods.
Right.
They also help companies put in place those more advanced authentication measures.
Like the phishing-resistant MFA options we were talking about.
The phishing-resistant MFA options we were talking about.
Exactly. And they help with things like zero trust.
Okay, what's zero trust?
So basically, you never automatically trust anyone or any device.
Oh, wow.
Even if they've authenticated. It's like constantly checking ID at every door.
Not just the front entrance.
Exactly.
They also offer incident response services to deal with any suspicious logins.
Right.
And then finally, they offer security awareness training for employees.
Which is super important.
It is. It helps educate everyone about these threats.
Right.
And makes them better at defending themselves.
Yeah. Knowledge is power.
It is.
Okay. So as we wrap up here,
what's
the biggest thing you want the listener to take away from all of this?
I think the most important thing to remember is that even though MFA is super important for security, it's not a foolproof solution.
Right.
Attackers are always changing their tactics.
Yeah.
And now they're targeting the authentication process itself.
Not just your passwords and codes.
Exactly.
So we need to understand these techniques so we can protect ourselves.
Absolutely.
Both individually and as organizations.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a really good point. And it leads us to our final thought for the listener today.
Okay.
Given all of these clever methods that can get around even our strongest security, what fundamental assumptions do we need to rethink about how we stay safe online?
That's a good question.
It really highlights this back and forth.
It does.
Between the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah, the people protecting us and the people trying to break in.
Exactly.
And it's constantly evolving.
It is.
So staying informed and being proactive. Continuously learning about these new threats and adapting.
Yeah.
That's not just a good idea anymore.
Right.
It's essential.
It's like a requirement for being online.
It is.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for our deep dive today.
Great.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
And stay safe out there.
Yes, stay safe.